Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael back again with his Faith and Freedom show. Before the break, I was talking some kind of extremism. I was talking about some extremism, and I'm hoping that you folks can tune in and stay hanging in here with me because I've got a true story to tell. Something happened just a few weeks ago. We were, I guess it was about 2 days before Christmas. We've got a situation. Let me tell you, it was something, one of these things where you have a need, and it's pretty huge, and then somebody goes out of their way to meet your needs. Sort of like, I'm trying to think, you guys see It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart, and he says, "Help me, Clarence, I don't want to die, I want to live." And he had this need, and then all his neighbors came in and chipped in. It was one of those little things. It made me wonder if somebody had gone out and gone to all the neighbors and got something for us. So it was kind of a really neat time, and it was just before this Christmas. And it reminded us of something that happened in 1997. Just before the break, I was kind of on a rant and rave, talking clandestinely, kind of just sort of hinting at something that was going on in my life that had me out of a job after 17 years of a Navy career and short of retirement. It was a very difficult year. I found things to do that would pay the bills, but it was, let's just say, at the end of the year, things were very, very difficult. And we literally, come Christmas time, when everybody's, you know, boosting the economy by buying one another gifts and things like that, we literally had nothing. I mean, it was just amazing what we did not have. We were getting by. Obviously, we had food. And literally, that was it. And there was just a lot of things going on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read from my book. It's a book, if you go to my website, if you type in davidallencarmichael.com, it'll take you to my website, davidallencarmichael.com. Also, faithfreedoms.org, and that's where I have my book listed as an ebook, and it's free. You can go to my website and get my book, Faith, The Final Frontier. How's that? Faith, The Final Frontier. It's an exciting adventure in real life of real exciting, what I say is, divine intervention. And it was it's a story about doing what God says in spite of the consequences. It's true religion, too. But I'm going to read from my book, Faith, The Final Frontier, and I'm on page 180, episode 11. Here we go. And this is entitled The Best Christmas Ever, or this part of the book. The episode is called Freelance Disciple, but here we go. Somehow we survived 1997, but we were in abject poverty. When it came to Thanksgiving time, we were extremely thankful that we had food. God used others to feed us well. We were given turkeys and plenty of other food. It was quite amazing to be able to have a feast to enjoy on Thanksgiving despite our lowly financial circumstances. Christmas was a different story, however. There were some administrative complications at the community college, and I had not received money for my most recent teaching contracts. Come mid-December, we had barely enough food to survive the month, and we had nothing to give anybody else for Christmas, let alone our own children. Not only did we not have money for gifts, we did not have money to buy winter coats that were needed for our kids. We knew our need, we were ashamed of it, and we did not tell anyone about it. We enjoyed making Christmas decorations to glorify Christ and made them as festive as possible. Unlike the previous years, however, there were no gifts for anybody. My wife was able to prepare a gift for Jesus by making something special for somebody who needed a blessing. God had many times before then brought money in the nick of time so we could purchase the things we needed. In this instance, we waited for the provision, and it never came. On Christmas Eve, the kids were put to bed knowing they would not have any presents to open in the morning except from one of their grandmothers. It seemed to me that the kids accepted it fairly well. It provided a good opportunity to focus on the true meaning of Christmas as a celebration of the Savior's birth. It was not so hard for me because I knew that there was nothing I could do to change the situation. I had worked hard to keep us surviving to that point. It was very difficult for my wife, who has innate desire to bless her children. She wants to give them the same opportunities that others have. We did our best to keep the faith. However, our situation did not bode well for a family who would soon have Dad, the breadwinner, now teaching for free. After the kids were put to bed, Leslie and I visited together contemplating our situation. We mourned our situation somewhat, yet we also confessed that God had been good and that He had no doubt would continue to be good. We comforted one another and began to prepare what we could for some Christmas morning festivities. Then there came a knock on the door. It was an emissary from a gift-giving cooperative that clandestinely accumulates gifts every Christmas to give a needy family. They had planned to give to some needy families, two families, who all of a sudden no longer had the need. In the last hour, somebody who knows us intimately suggested that some of the gifts be passed on to us. The gift givers decided, by the leading of the Lord, as our friend just happened to just, I'm going off the book here, this friend of ours just dropped by Christmas Eve to visit somebody. And when he went in, they were in this group of people were in there trying to figure out what to do with all these presents. That all the gifts, the gift givers decided by the leading of the Lord that all the gifts should come our way. There were so many gifts unloaded out of several cars that they covered the front half of the living room and blocked our entry into the dining room. We had never then, nor since, seen so many presents in one place. One of the gifts was a beautiful, high-quality winter coat that fit Bethany perfectly, and really nice coats that fit the boys too. We had presents that we could also give to other people. When my kids woke up in the morning, they experienced a sharp contrast to their expectations. God had demonstrated the definition of irony. What they considered would be the sparsest Christmas celebration of their young lives became abundant beyond human imagination. Wow, was the word of the day. My second child and oldest son, Jesse, summed it up pretty well in a document he composed for school not long afterward. This is by Jesse Carmichael, "The Best Christmas Ever." Christmas at our house is usually the best time of the year. On Christmas Eve, our friends come over and we act out the nativity. We dress up like Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds and the wise men while Daddy reads the Christmas story. We act out the parts as Daddy reads them. A lot of times, friends and family come on Christmas Day. We thank God for sending His Son into the world, and we read the Christmas story sitting around the crackling fire, drinking spicy, warm wassail. Mom makes a great big breakfast, and sometimes we eat cake to celebrate Jesus' birthday. Then we tear into all the wonderful gifts. Last year, my dad got out of the Navy, so we had no extra money. Nobody was even coming to visit us. We had to make Christmas presents because we could not afford to buy them. To give others so that we were not thinking just of ourselves, we sent a shoebox Christmas to a needy child. I wasn't expecting many gifts, but I was hoping for something special. I didn't even have trouble getting to sleep because I probably wouldn't get many presents, so I went to bed sad. I woke up hopeful but not expecting much. I went downstairs surprised to see the huge, colorful mountain of presents. It was 10 feet wide and up to my waist. I wondered how many were for me. When it was finally time to open presents, we each took a turn unwrapping a gift. There were huge ones, medium-sized ones, and teeny little ones. As we opened them, we realized they were all from other people outside our immediate family. Others had blessed us with presents that they had picked out just for us so that we would have a happy Christmas. And that was how we had the best Christmas ever. That's a true story, folks. Really happened. And what's the point of this whole thing is, before the break, I said that we can't be the home of the free unless we're going to be the home of the brave. When you sit and talk about to your friends about what your, your boundaries are in life, the things that you hold to be dear, the things that you think are important, the things that you would talk about political issues and hold a congressman accountable for, what would you do in the same situation? What is the basis of why you do something? It's kind of a thing politically. We ask people in office, hey, why are you doing what you're doing? Do you see any authority of that in the Constitution? And what it is, there's some people that just don't see any boundaries. They don't see that as a boundary. if there is a Congress, Congress, they think, can just do whatever they want. And that's their perspective. Most likely, it goes back to their own private lives. Or their own private lives. If they don't have a... I just thought of something that Solomon said. Solomon, known to be the wisest person on earth, who did some of the most foolish things, but he was attributed to, as being the wisest man, who wrote many Proverbs. And there's a book called Ecclesiastes, which is called The Preacher. That's the term. It means the preacher. That's the name of the book in the Bible he wrote. He summarized it. It just occurred to me that he summarized it at the end of chapter 12, verses 13 and 14 of Ecclesiastes. He said, after pondering all these things in life, he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil." That's a perspective of King Solomon. It just hit me. I guess you notice I've got it memorized. I think it's an important thing to remember. So when you're making your decisions in life, what are your boundaries? If you say, "Oh, I think abortion's wrong. It's horrible. I think abortion should not be something that people should be doing, or it shouldn't be legal." What happens when your teenage daughter has a physical relations with a young man and becomes pregnant? What do you think? What are you going to do? What are your boundaries? What are your motives? Is it right or is it wrong because you think about it on a given day? Or is it right or wrong because there's a particular reference that you're accountable to? So we do talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. Ultimately, my goal is to get you guys to be a fly on the wall during my show so I can tell stories like the best Christmas ever. Is it a coincidence that we were living on the edge? I didn't tell the story of what was going on about me about ready to teach classes for free. I didn't tell the details of that story. But it's one of these things where, are we really going to be the home of the free if we're not going to be the home of the brave? People don't have enough courage to just behave correctly these days, let alone talk about their faith, let alone say, "Hey, you know, God asked me to do the following thing. It seems absolutely crazy. I'm going to be in the danger zone probably for the rest of my life, having to rely on divine intervention daily for my survival. Let's do it." How many people in life do you know are even going to have that conversation? Most of us won't even talk about our faith. You know why? Because most of us are cowards. In fact, the cowardice, once you start not talking about your faith, you know what happens? You start not living it. Because if you start living it, you're going to end up having to talk about it because it's going to come up in conversation because everybody's going to see it. But we are not going to be the home of the free unless we're going to be the home of the brave. I do have to mention this. This is something that my wife reminds me once in a while. She told me, "Honey, remember, in Revelation, the guys that went into the lake of the fire, the first one on the list were cowards. But cowards, unbelieving, etc., 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 shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire, which is the second death." Hey, that's some pretty extreme penalty for cowardice. I'm David Allen Carmichael. Yes, I talk about the freedom issues, but sometimes I talk about the faith issues. Go to my faithfreedoms.org or davidallencarmichael.com. Get a link there to my book, Faith, the Final Frontier. It's a real story. It's an ebook, and it's free for you. We're going to come back, and hopefully we'll have some more exciting radio adventures.